Since I can't control what you're going to do, I can control what I'm going to do. And what that means in the future, if you violate any of the conditions of probation, you can count on me giving you some jail time.
This isn't the way things used to be. When Judge Stephen Alm was assigned to a felony trial courtroom in Honolulu in 2004, he saw judges routinely warning offenders to follow the rules of probation, and probationers just as routinely ignoring those warnings.
At sentencing, the judge says no drugs, you have to see your probation officer, you have to pay your restitution, and then in the real world they go out there and violate those conditions, and typically there's no consequence.
No consequence, because the only threat was years in prison. But that threat was usually only carried out after dozens of violations over months or years.
And I thought, what a crazy way to try to change anybody's behavior.
So people just aren't reforming.
That's not right. Getting better. They're not. They're getting worse.
And Judge Alm, a former city prosecutor and U.S. attorney with a reputation as one of the court's toughest sentencers, wasn't having it. So he decided to try a different approach, an approach based on his experience as a father.
I thought to myself, well, what would work to change behavior? And I thought of the way I was raised, the way my wife and I were trying to raise our son. You tell him what the family rules are, and then if there's misbehavior, you do something immediately. Swift and certain is what's going to get people's attention and help them tie together bad behavior with a consequence and learn from it. Do you need to sit in jail any longer to realize how seriously we're going to take all this stuff?
Despite all the tough talk, Judge Alm called his new program HOPE. It stands for Hawaii's Opportunity Probation with Enforcement. Judge Alm worked with the probation supervisor, public defender, and law enforcement to institute his new procedures, which were pretty simple. If any probationer violated the rules, they'd be punished immediately.
In some ways, HOPE is parenting 101. A lot of the folks in the program, I think, grew up in families where there wasn't a lot of structure, there wasn't a lot of tie-in between behavior and consequence, so they didn't have a chance to learn from it.
Make sure you call the hotline every weekday morning.
The HOPE program targets probationers at highest risk of violating the rules. And Alm estimates around 80% of them abuse drugs and alcohol. So unlike regular probation, where offenders can usually anticipate a drug test at a scheduled appointment, HOPE imposes drug tests that are frequent and random. Probationers are assigned a color and a number and must call a hotline every single morning.
Today's UA colors are blue 2, green 3.
If their color and number are called, they must report by 2 p.m., no excuses. Short jail stays, sometimes just a few days long, are immediately imposed for positive drug tests and other violations like missing appointments. But there's some leeway here.
Anybody who shows up and tests dirty and admits to it is telling me that, you know, they're having problems, they messed up, but they're taking responsibility for it. I understand that, so I'm going to reflect that by only giving you a couple days in jail. And so, you know, we're going to work with you on that.
These seemingly simple reforms in Hawaii soon produced remarkable results. An arm of the Department of Justice funded a study 5 years after the program launched. That study found that, compared to people in regular probation, HOPE probationers were half as likely to be arrested for new crimes or have their probation revoked. They ended up spending about half as much time in prison and were 72% less likely to use drugs. The results from Hawaii caught the attention of criminal justice experts across the nation.
When I first encountered the HOPE model, I was skeptical. Most criminologists are.
Todd Clear is an expert on criminal justice at Rutgers University in New Jersey. He says he was skeptical because old models of deterrence that use threats usually don't work because the threats were too big and never carried out. But HOPE, he says, does the exact opposite.
What they've done with the HOPE model has been to ratchet down the level of penalty so that it's something you can actually afford to do, and then ratchet up the likelihood that if you engage in misconduct, you will actually experience that penalty.
Clear says the HOPE model also works because these penalties are seen as fair by the offenders.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good job.
Rapid responses that are reasonable, that are understood to be reasonable, that are clearly that the person understands what was happening and why it was happening, have a behavior-shaping, behavior-changing capacity.
Hope's success in steering offenders away from prison was so promising that programs modeled after it have now launched in courtrooms in 17 other states. Washington State, for example, put its entire parole and probation population into its version of Hope. And the Federal Department of Justice has launched Hope programs in communities in 4 states. Here in Honolulu, the program is working for people like John Kema. He was picked up in 2006 for resisting arrest and possession of methamphetamine. Kema's case was representative of larger problems that Hawaii struggles with: high rates of meth use and disproportionately high incarceration rates among Native Hawaiians. First, Kema was put in regular probation. For 2 years, he repeatedly missed appointments and failed drug tests, all with few consequences.
I wasn't ready to give up drugs and alcohol.
Then in 2009, his frustrated probation officer put him in the Hope program, where he faced Judge Alm.
At first, I didn't like him, honestly.
Yeah, why not?
He kept putting me back in jail.
Within months, Judge Alm slapped Kema with a short jail stay for a dirty drug test. Then there were the daily phone calls.
When I had to start calling the color on a daily basis, you know, that's when it started turning around in my life.
Why?
Because I needed to be accountable for those times that I call, you know. It was totally up to me to make the right decision, whether I want to go back to jail or I want to just have freedom.
Was that the first time in your life that you were really being held accountable?
Oh, totally. Totally.
After repeated violations and jail stays, Kema says he finally learned his lesson. He checked into a drug treatment program in 2012 and has been sober for more than a year. He graduated from Hope last summer.
As long as you worry about yourself, you're gonna be all right, Mark.
Yeah.
Today, he's a mentor to others who struggle with substance abuse.
You're working with people who have been engaged in pretty serious behavior that could send them to prison for years. But with the threat of just a few days in jail, they're shaping up.
It's the disruptive nature of this program. It's not something bad might happen years down the road. It's you're going to jail today. That will cause them to change.
Judge Alm also says the program could save taxpayers big time. According to Alm, a probationer on Hope costs about $1,500 a year. Prison in Hawaii costs around $46,000. But critics say the swift sanctions come at a cost. The stricter rules mean more work for probation officers and drug testers, more strain on the local jail, and a bigger workload for the Honolulu police, who've had to serve hundreds of warrants for Hope probationers who've gone on the run.
It's taxing the criminal justice system, law enforcement, and being able to look for them, being able to bring them back.
Honolulu City Prosecutor Keith Kaneshiro thinks judges should put more people in prison from the start. He also thinks Hope keeps offenders on probation too long and allows them too many chances.
What kind of consequences do we have for these probationers? When people violate the conditions of probation or commit crimes, they need to go to prison.
Is it better, though, that these offenders are in Hope probation, which in theory has more oversight, more requirements for checking in, more drug testing than regular probation?
Just by having them do drug testing is not supervision. It's one form of supervision, but it's not enough.
Not enough, Kaneshiro says, because even though it's been rare, he's seen about a half dozen offenders on Hope probation charged with serious crimes like rape and murder since he took office in 2010.
There have been some instances of people committing very serious crimes, part of the Hope program, including murder. Do those people belong in a probation program, or should they have been sent to prison to begin with?
Well, if we all had crystal balls, they might have been sent to prison. In the cases I'm aware of like that, when they were first put on probation, they were put on probation, say, for possession of a small amount of drugs. There's no question some people on Hope are going to get charged with crimes. Some people on probation as usual are going to get charged with crimes. The good news, the people in Hope are getting charged with new crimes a lot less often.
Many are also shaping up and getting off probation. The day we visited, 4 successful Hope probationers were discharged from the program.
The motion for early termination is granted. You're no longer under court supervision because you've shown you can be responsible.
We want people to decide, I can have a life without drugs. I can have a life without committing crime.
Best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good job.
I'll email.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. That's what we're looking for.